You know, it wasn't but a few hundred years ago that the United States started out as a small nation. We founded our independence from England, and as when we came here to the United States as a people, we started to expand. Now, if you read history books, they're full of the revolution of the United States and what helped to create such a powerful country. You know, it wasn't not just the United States that, of course, has been a powerful country. But the thing that made America unique was that it was innovative. It used its resources. It reused everything. There was a time when it was said that people didn't throw anything away. But now things have changed. We are no longer a nation that is looking to reuse. And don't get me wrong, some people do try and reuse things. But for the most part, we have become a consumerist and throwaway nation. Now, if you want to argue this point, well, here are some facts. And they come from a website called becomingminimalist.com. And under their section, clutter-stats, here's some interesting facts that they've gathered from different news sources. So this isn't just their ideas. But I'll just read through some of these bullet points that they had. It said, the average size of the American home has nearly tripled in size over the past 50 years. That comes from NPR. And second point, and still one out of every 10 Americans rents an off-site storage. The fastest growing segment of the commercial real estate industry over the past four decades. Comes from the New York Times Magazine. Continuing on, the United States has upward of 50,000 storage facilities, more than five times the number of Starbucks. Currently, there is 7.13 square feet of self-storage space for every man, woman, and child in the United States. Therefore, it is physically possible that every American could stand all at the same time under the total canopy of the self-storage roofing. It's a lot of storage for things that we don't even know are in storage. Continuing on, some reports indicate we consume twice as many material goods today as we did 50 years ago. Another one, Americans spend $1.2 trillion annually on non-essential goods. In other words, items they do not need. It's from the Wall Street Journal. The $8 billion home organization industry has more than doubled in size since the early 2000s, growing at a staggering rate of 10% each year. When you start thinking about these numbers, it's staggering how much this country has been blessed with. But in talking about these things, we have to realize that if we are not careful, we can start to become affected by this type of mindset. You know, it's easy to start complaining about the things that we don't have, maybe the things that we want. But the fact is that we are living in one of the most rich and blessed nations on this entire earth. And we have more stuff and things than most of the entire world still. But why talk about this today? You know, today we're keeping a holy day. And by extension, we know that we are to bring before God an offering. And how many times have we heard how our attitude is what God looks at when we are giving an offering? Do we take the time to notice in ourselves our attitude when we are giving an offering? Let's look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, this is such a key point for us. Our reliance and faith in God must include that he is able to provide for us in any circumstance. And knowing this, it should help to guide and direct our attitudes. Let's turn over to Luke 12. We'll read verses 13 to 21. I'm going to read it from the NIV because I like how they had it here. But Luke 12, and beginning in verse 13, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" So this person is a little upset because supposedly his brother doesn't want to share the inheritance. And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, 'Well, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" You know, this is how it will be for the people who try and store up things for themselves, but they're not rich towards God. You know, this man was so rich that he tore down the barns that he had just so that he could store more things. Going back to the point earlier of the amount of storage in this country. You know, God richly blessed the United States and Great Britain with tremendous blessings because he kept his promise to his servant Abraham. But unfortunately, those days of blessing are quickly dwindling, and unfortunately, they'll soon be gone. But as a nation, it's we who have done this to ourselves. No one bothers to tithe. No one wants to hear the truth preached. Mr. Rank's sermonette this morning touched upon the blessings in Deuteronomy that God said he would give to those people who were obeying him. You know, the number one thing here in the States is the American dream. And unfortunately, that American dream is based on how much money can we get? How much material things can we possess? And this type of thinking, as I mentioned before, becomes a disease. And when all you care about is the types of things that you can get, when that becomes your main focus, you stop caring about those around you. And you don't even care if in the process of doing so that you hurt other people. Just a week or two ago in an article in our update, we quoted an article that showed that a lot of people in Germany were protesting the trade deals with the United States and Canada. Many were claiming that corporate interests dominate the American way of life. But as we can see, this is not what God wants or expects. You know, the Bible shows that We are to work. We are to enjoy the good gifts that God gives us. You know, he gives us clothes, food, cars, homes, so many great gifts. But our main goal shouldn't be for striving for these things. Luke 12 and verse 32 to 34. Says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. A treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is our heart? Now, God is the greatest giver of all. He gave life. He gave the earth. He gave everything that we have. He even gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be our sacrifice. It's all God's at the end of the day. But he wants to give us good things. Let's look at Matthew 7 and verse 7 to 12. Matthew 7 and starting at verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who his son asks for bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's look at the correlation that Christ brings out here. He says, if you want or need anything, then you should petition God for it. But I also found it interesting how he ends his thought in verse 12. Doing to others, in essence giving to others, or helping with anything that you can, is the same as if you want it to be done for you. You know, it's a circular effect. God wants to see if we're willing to lay down our lives when possible for each other. Look at Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Galatians 6, and starting verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sowing to the Spirit is what God is looking for from us. Which is why Paul says that we should not grow weary. If we continue to grow in the fruit of the Spirit and are truly seeking after God's ways, then we know God will bless us in the things that we do. Now, our opportunity now is to give an offering to God. But let's keep in mind the things that we are continually able to do for each other. We should learn to be content and ever watchful so that we can help when needed. And in all of this, let's not forget to give God thanks and glory for his blessings and his continuing care for us, his people.